Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello, everybody. It's Todd Tomasella with Blog Talk on Blog Talk Radio with Safeguard Your Soul Radio. And I've got my wonderful friend and guest today again, Mr. and brother and judge, Travis Bryant. Good morning, brother. How are you?
Good morning, Todd. Good to hear your voice this morning.
Yes, sir, brother. We're talking about an exciting reality, an exciting concept from Scripture that little by little is seeping into the heart, ears. You know, it's interesting that the word ear is right in the middle of heart, E-A-R. Right in the middle of our hearts, this cross message is beginning to take root. It's beginning to sink down into our hearts, as Jesus said, as the engrafted word of God. And that's how I believe, Brother Travis, you can expound on this if you like, begins to germinate and take root in us and become the reality that controls our lives. It's absolutely amazing.
Todd, we've got to terminated before we can be germinated.
There you go. He must increase, but we or I must decrease. We're talking about dying with Christ, and the great thing about this is we've got to understand, in fact, Paul calls us a fool if we don't, that something has to die before it can be raised up again. It has to die. In fact, Paul says this in 1 Corinthians 15:36, "Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened or made alive, except it die." And as you said previously, Brother Travis, life only springs out of death. Now, in this particular conversation and show, we are talking about, in specific, one of the specific ways we're dealing with or talking about the cross is how it will prevent us from trying to control others, Brother Travis. And that can be a real bad thing and interfere with the work of God in the lives of others. Amen?
Yes, and part of this dying process, Todd, is dying to control tactics and giving other people their freedom. That is upside down power to the world, Todd. That giving somebody their freedom could mean that you come out better. Not only them, but you too.
Absolutely. Amen, brother. What's coming to mind, several things, but one of them, Brother Travis, is a lot of the younger guys I'm in fellowship with want me to tell them what to do. I can't do that. I can only tell them what God wants them to do. There are times to speak forth and rebuke or direct, as the Lord would lead, and it has to be absolute Scripture. But for the most part, I kind of leave my hands off of that, Brother Travis. I know that's the leading of the Spirit and the cross in operation there, and I know you're like that because I've known you for about 10 years now or so, and you've never forcefully, the Apostle Paul said this. He says, "Not that we have dominion over your faith, but we are helpers of your joy." We have two articles in a book, I believe it's in the book, Deceivers and False Prophets Among Us, and it's called The Deeds and Doctrine of the Nicolaitans. Jesus said he hated the deeds and the doctrines of the Nicolaitans, and one of those was the very word Nicolaitans, Nico meaning conquer, laity or laitanes means the people. That's where we get the word laity from. And so conquering the laity, controlling and dominating them is what that word actually means. And Jesus said he hated the deeds and doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which was to control and manipulate the people. And that is found in Revelation 2, verse 6 and 15. And again, we've got two or three extensive chapters that have really helped a lot of people get free and delivered from some very damaging control by other people. The book is Deceivers and False Prophets Among You, available on Amazon and Kindle and in print. Now, Brother Travis, you were talking about, as I've read here, that Paul died to control tactics. His great desire was that Philemon would forgive and emancipate Onesimus from his sin against and betrayal of Philemon. Paul had the right to pull rank on Philemon and to dictate him to him how we should treat Onesimus upon Onesimus's return. But no, Paul rather appealed to Philemon in love, totally giving Philemon the free will to choose his own action toward Onesimus. Amen. Philemon would have been well within legal rights to punish Onesimus and return him to bondage. This would be the law way, not the grace way. Amen, brother. And that's coming out of the book of Philemon, ladies and gentlemen, the one chapter book often neglected. Did you want to speak a little bit about that, Brother Travis?
Yes, Todd, this book of Philemon shows a formula, and of course I hate to use that word because there's never a formula for Christian living, but if there is, coming close to that, it's the cross. Yeah,
yeah,
that, I hate to put God in a box by saying there's a formula, but in order to explain this, I call it the Cruci formula for living. And here's the formula, Todd, and you see this running, this thread running through a lot of Paul's epistles, especially 1 Corinthians, Philippians, and here in Philemon. I don't know exactly how you pronounce that, Philemon, but I'll say it that way. Here's the formula, Todd. Although X, not Y, but Z. And here's what we see in that runs through all these epistles. Although X, he's saying that although we possess a certain status, rank, or rights, not Y, that means we choose not to use our status, rank, or rights. In other words, we choose not to throw our weight around and pull rank on people, even though we have the right and the position that would allow us to do that. And finally, but Z, but we rather choose self-abandonment, self-abasement, and the emptying of self in order to benefit the others that are around us and not ourselves. So the Cruci formula is, although X, we could have exercised our rights, not Y, we choose not to throw our weight around, but Z, we choose abandonment, self-abasement, and self-emptying in order to benefit others. Now, here in the book of Philemon, verses 8 through about 14, Paul had the rank as an apostle and the authority to order Philemon, to dictate to him how to treat Onesimus, the slave. And, of course, I think the book implies that Onesimus had done wrong to Philemon and had betrayed him and left his service as a slave. And that was a very bad thing to do in that culture in that time. So Paul did not why, he did not throw his weight around or dictate to Philemon, but Z, he appealed to him in love, Todd, giving him his total free will.
Yeah.
Gave him his freedom and beckoned him in love to receive and restore Onesimus, not as a slave, but as an equal brother in Christ. It's just a beautiful little book, Todd.
It really is a great example. You know, we see that throughout Paul's ministry, Brother Travis. In 2 Corinthians 8:5, he says, "And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God." First, they gave themselves to the Lord. He's talking about the believers in the churches of Macedonia. He said they first gave themselves to the Lord and then to us. See, Paul had the correct order and priorities of the Lord, the orders of priority. Of the kingdom of God is that God come first, not man. And it's very dangerous when men start operating in witchcraft and asserting themselves between the Lord's people and the Lord. And I believe the Lord gets very, very angry at that witchcraft. And we go into detail about this, scripturally and otherwise, and by example, because I, many years ago, was brought under that kind of bondage by several pastors. And so in that book, Deceivers and False Prophets Among Us, in fact, brother, I had a really good brother named Paul Roberts who called. He's been in ministry about 3 or 4 decades, a close friend of mine now out of Austin, Texas. He called. That's how I met him, about probably 15 years ago or so, and when that book came out, maybe 10 years ago or so. And he had hunted down something on the topic of the Nicolaitanes and this kind of manipulation and bondage and control that people get brought under, because he had been a subject of that kind of a victimization. And anyway, it set him free. The truth of the Lord set him free. We are to stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, saints, and be not entangled with any yoke of bondage of any type that interferes with our life with Christ and abiding with the one who bled on the cross and to redeem us unto the Father. And he alone has the right, if you will, in the place of rulership in our lives, Brother Travis. Amen?
Amen, brother. You know, and I think that comes from just a lack of understanding of the cross message by the pastors, these, that the word Nicolaitan means conquer the laity. And I think these seminaries, sometimes I refer to them as cemeteries, because
yep,
they don't really teach the message of the cross, Todd. And so the pastor is actually taught ways to control his congregation and ways to survive and job security. And they come out and surround themselves by lieutenants that will protect them in the church. And they preach law. In other words, they intimidate people into giving. They say that, you know, if you give, you'll be blessed. If you don't give, they imply that you will be cursed. Of course, that's law thinking right there.
Mm-hmm.
And they keep everybody in line by these control methods. In other words, they do not understand that the way to get a great congregation and to have a glorious fellowship is to die to control and let the Holy Spirit control their congregations through upside down power, Todd, instead of right side up, which they're using. And so the Spirit is just shut down. I said on this program not long ago, job security killed Jesus, and it's still killing his life today in the church through the Nicolaitans, Todd.
Amen, brother. That's unfortunate. You know, as you speak, I think about the great danger of the insidious, the very insidious control and manipulation and scheming. These guys have the plan laid out, unfortunately. When you go in these churches, you think you just, you know, you may think as an individual that you're just there having fun, you know, because these seeker-friendly community churches here in Dallas and all over littering the countryside of the United States, you talk about an emergent church invasion. Anyway, they, you know, you may think, well, man, this is just good times, fun times, you know, the coffee's flowing, the big screen TVs, you got a cool pastor, and, you know, but these guys have a business plan in place, and they are entertaining people right into eternal damnation, and that is the most scary type. It's very obvious when you have a little bit of discernment and biblical truth in you, when somebody comes and starts to directly, blatantly put you in bondage. That seems to be more obvious, Brother Travis, but there's some insidious workings of the evil one in these false leaders that is really scary, brother. What do you think?
Well, it is, and of course, the Pharisees were out of that mold, and, you know, Jesus was in constant conflict with them because he represents grace, and they represented law. So all through the Gospels, that's Jesus's main opponent is the Nicolaitan type thinker, and
yes,
then all through Paul's epistles, it's the same thing. There, and both,
yes,
of them ended up being killed. In John chapter 8, Jesus told them, "Your father is the devil." Now, wait a minute here. You know, these people, the highest and best, seemingly at that time, religion had to offer. These were not drunks and prostitutes and thieves. These were people doing all the, quote, right things. And yet Jesus is telling them, no, your father is the devil, because they have that mindset of the Nicolaitan, Todd.
Yeah, you know, you bring up a great point there. Grace and law cannot mix. Over the years, I've connected with, for a season or, you know, whether long or short, with brothers in the Lord that were real strong on the truth, so it seemed, and, you know, beat the drum of it, you know, and no tolerance for any evil and stuff like that. I guess I was probably like that to some degree a while back, you know. But the thing is, the relationship had a cutting off point, because, see, while God has said you must be holy, it's not by my beating somebody over the head or my manipulation, my wrath, my self-righteous wrath, using law that brings somebody to the place of pleasing God. They have to make that individual choice, and it's by grace that not only we're saved, but by which we're sanctified. Titus 2:11-12, we're sanctified to hate evil by the grace of God. Grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. The law came by Moses. We have to choose grace, not only in initial salvation, but ongoing. It's by grace that we overcome sin. Paul said, sin shall not have dominion over you. You're not under the law, but under grace. Romans chapter 6, verse 14. Now, Brother Travis, in 1 Corinthians 16, we see how Paul deals with Apollos. This is a great example of what you're talking about today, brother. Such an important subject that touches all of our lives at some place or the other, and may be dealing with somebody's life today that's listening to the program. 1 Corinthians 16:12 gives us a really strong nugget of insight. The Apostle Paul says this. He writes, as touching or concerning our brother Apollos, who is said to be another apostle, Apollos, I greatly desired him to come unto you with the brethren. I wanted him to come see you, but his will, Paul allowed for individuals' free will, as God does, much less us, little old us, trying to control somebody else's will. But his will was not at all to come at this time. But he will come when he shall have convenient time. That is a very easy verse to read right over, but it's packed with truth, brother, and it shows what you're talking about today from the scriptures. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 12. Paul wanted Apollos to go on a certain mission to do ministry. In this verse, we see. Did Apollos choose to go? No, but not at that time. Did Paul throw him away? Did Paul come against him? Did Paul pull rank on him? No, none of that. We have this doctrine of witchcraft in the church world today called the covering doctrine, Brother Travis, and that's a very overt example of this kind of law leadership, Brother Travis. I know you're familiar with that covering witchcraft.
I absolutely, I agree with that, Todd. And of course, to boil this thing down to an individual level, every day in our daily walk, Todd, here is the miraculous truth of this, that we come out better when we give other people their free will and give up control. See, the flesh thinks, in order to protect myself, I need to put up barriers and control the people around me and manipulate and outfox and be a wolf among sheep. That's the world's way. And this is telling us, no, you come out better when you give other people their freedom. That means you don't necessarily go along with them. You don't necessarily adopt what they say, but you give them their freedom and their free will to make their own decisions. And you see that all through the Bible. And look at Abraham and Lot. They come to that crucial point where they've got to separate. And Abraham gives Lot his free will. He lets him choose which one he wants, the plush plain or the highlands of the Promised Land, with what turned out to be the Promised Land. And, of course, Lot chose the area that ended up being Sodom and Gomorrah. And Abraham got the best part by giving up control and letting some other person have his will. And that's the cross lifestyle right there, Todd. Although I've got the right to choose, I have seniority, I'm in charge here. I don't use that rank. Not Y, but Z. I give the other person their freedom. That's the key to this, Todd. And
yes,
boy, once you start to apply this in your life, I mean, it's just
it's freedom.
You can't believe the fruit that it will bear. You can't force people to do things. That's law.
Amen.
That's Satan. Coercion, threat of
it's,
punishment.
Yes.
I'm going to do this to you if you don't. All that is satanic,
witchcraft.
God. And
yeah.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Amen. Witchcraft boils down to, and that's one of the 17 works of the flesh. I'm not just indiscriminately throwing that word around, friends. Galatians 5:19 through 21 lists 17 soul-damning sins. By the way, we have a little book called Soul-Damning Sins, man. It's a stick of dynamite or two, and it's also available on Amazon, Soul-Damning Sins. It is the control, the undue control of another person. God created that person, and only he is qualified to be honored to lead and guide that person as that person chooses out of their own free will that he gave them to choose to follow him, just like we see in the relationship between Paul and Apollos and the other, you know, all the other people he dealt with. This all comes down to our identity with Christ in the cross and putting him first. When we put him first, we leave other people up to him. And in fact, Brother Travis, last time I checked, it's more than a full-time job keeping this one fool right here in order. And that's why so much more that I need the cross. So I don't know why or how I could be so arrogant and self-righteous and ridiculous as to think I'm going to be running around controlling other people. Paul said this, "For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake." 2 Corinthians 4:5. 2 Corinthians is a magnificent book about Paul's ministry and many facets of it. He's saying right here, Brother Travis, that he preached Christ, and him and those who he ministered with him, this very servants of the people. They were the wind, their wings, if you will. They were there to elevate them, not to elevate themselves over them. That's the difference between a wolf and a genuine servant of the Lord. In fact, in chapter 1, verse 24, I may have listed this earlier, Paul said, "Not that we have dominion over your faith, but we are helpers of your joy." There it is. That's the wind in the sails of the saints. Amen?
Amen, brother. And, of course, the great example of all examples of this crucial formula for living that I'm talking about here and you talking about, Todd, is Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 9, which Paul says, "Let this mind be in you." In other words, this mindset that we're discussing, he says in verse 6, "Who, being in the form of God," that's the first part of the formula, although Jesus was God, he had the nature of God, he was in the form of God, not why. He did not choose to use, he didn't exploit that, he didn't hang on to his equality with God, but Z, he chose self-abandonment, self-emptying. He came down, was born as a little helpless infant, and then went to that cruel cross, Todd. It says in verse 8, "Being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." And, of course, then it goes into the upward swing of this thing. He's exalted to be again equal with God, and of course that's the pattern for living, Todd. If we'll get down, have this mindset of getting down, not exercising our rights, not trying to control people, Give it up, Todd. Surrender and let God control people around you. Then God will exalt you at the proper time, Todd.
And in the proper way. And I love this absolutely the absolute best passage on this whole topic and so many others that it covers. Philippians 2, Brother Travis, I love to read prayerfully every morning, verse 3 through 5. It really sets the posture of the cross in my personal life and just changes my whole day in the direction thereof in the Lord's will. It says here, verse 3 through 5, Philippians 2, amen. Let nothing be done through strife or vain glory, self-glorying, but in lowliness, there's the cross, lowliness, lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves.
Amen.
Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of other. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. That's the disposition of Christ, is that he came from heaven to earth to lift us up by dying for us and being buried and raising from the dead so that he could redeem us. And this is Christ whom we are to follow. This is that cross where we announce ourselves to be dead. We denounce our own rights. We say, Lord, into your hands we commend or submit our spirit, not my will, but thine be done. You must increase, but I must decrease. I want to encourage you, saints, to listen to the Lord in Philippians 2, 3 through 5, and to bathe your mind and your heart every morning prayerfully in this passage. I believe the Lord will move greatly in your life and through your life as you posture yourself. You allow the Lord to put that cross right in the middle of your being, and you're postured in this mindset of Christ, this attitude of you live to serve God and others, not yourself. In fact, Brother Travis, as we close, I recently was going through a real big fire and battle there for a few days. That was something I was dealing with on a personal level in my life. And a sister was going through some hard times, and I thanked her because she asked me to pray for her. And I said, well, thank you. This is such a great opportunity. You know, when we get our heart right with God and we're seeking to serve him and others, it really takes us out of our own troubles at times. It's a blessing in more ways than can possibly be touched upon. Brother Travis, you want to close out here? We've got about 2 minutes left.
Yes, Todd. You know, one book that has numerous examples of this cross way of living, this crucifix formula, is 1 Corinthians. And I think that's because they were having a lot of problems in that church. And Paul comes forth with this strange message of the cross as the way to bring people back together, to eliminate strife and division. The cross unifies people. And there's at least about 6 or 8 of these little instances, like in chapter 6, 7, 8, 11, and 12 of 1 Corinthians. You can go through there and just see this way throughout the book of 1 Corinthians as Paul's message to stop the problems, the infighting and the factions that were there in 1 Corinthians. And in the very first chapter, Todd, you see all these I's. I am of Peter. I am of Paul. Mm. I am of Apollos. I am of Christ. Well, that I is the problem right there, Todd. That's the old ego. And when you let ego into the church, bad things happen, Todd. That ego got to die.
Seconds. Absolutely, brother. In fact, isn't it interesting, Brother Travis, that this biblical phrase we often quote, which is so powerful, it says, biting and devouring one another. That actually occurs, without surprise, in the book of Galatians, where the law instead of grace was allowed to prosper. And we need to denounce, folks, as we close here, all control of other people, hand the control of our own lives over to the Lord. In fact, that's the crux of it. When my life is given over to the Lord to control, not myself, then I will completely cease to try to control anyone else. Father, in the name of Jesus, rebuke us to the core of our being in the holy fear of God, that we would truly allow you to reign in our life, to repent and to submit to you, Lord, and forgive us for the witchcraft that we've exercised over others. in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen, Todd.